Hello, and welcome to the Learning College. I'm Alex Linder. You can find this and everything we record at vnnforum.com, and you're welcome to join our social medium at pyvil.net. Today, as part of our understanding schools of thought that motivate, protect, defend, advance the interests of whites, we're going to look at a booklet called National Socialism and the Laws of Nature, by Martin Kerr, K-E-R-R. This was produced in 2018 on the back of this booklet. Hundreds of books translated from Third Reich originals, and you can find that at on the web at thirdreichbooks.com, hyphenated, third-reich-books.com. RJG Enterprises, Inc., P.O. Box 6424, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68506. And there's pictures of lots of titles, presumably of small books like the one I'm holding, that are translated from the Third Reich. So that's the back cover. And the front cover is a tree with a swastika in the center, National Socialism and the Laws of Nature, by Martin Kerr. Turning inside, the title and Kerr again. This booklet is a joint project by two veteran National Socialists, Martin Kerr and Gerhard Lauck. Copyright 2018 by Martin Kerr, printed in USA. And this is about 27, 28, 29, under 30 pages. But it's a very clear précis of what National Socialism is, and little bit of some notes or a bibliography at the end. Anyway, we'll go through it. So the author, Martin Kerr, is the chief of staff of the New Order. Contact. This is the title page here. Contact New Order, P.O. Box 270486, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53227. Website, theneworder.org. Blog, neworder.org.wordpress.com. The publisher, Gerhard Lauck, L-A-U-C-K, is the head of the NSDAP/AO. Contact NSDAP/AO, P.O. Box 6414, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68506. Websites nsdap.info, third-reich-books.com, and zensurfrei.com, Z-E-N-S-U-R-F-R-E-I. .com, censor free in German. Now, turning to the text, page 3, and again it runs through page 26 effectively, or 27. National Socialism and the Laws of Nature. Quote, "It is life alone that all things must serve." Adolf Hitler, Mein Kampf, Volume 1, Chapter 9, page 215, Mannheim translation. Introduction. A unique and compelling feature of the National Socialist worldview of Adolf Hitler is that, of all the various political movements and ideologies of the modern era, it alone is based solely on the natural order, capital N-O. Only National Socialism is grounded in reality and not in phantasms of the human mind. National Socialists believe that the universe is governed by natural laws, and that for man to be happy and successful, he must first acknowledge that these laws exist. Secondly, he must discover what they are. And thirdly, he must live in accordance with them. This is another way of saying that the universe runs according to the principles of causality, that is, of cause and effect relationships, and that it does not operate on the basis of supernatural forces, or on the mental constructions and wishful thinking of intellectuals and ideologues, or on the religious fantasies of theologians. So as opposed to the idea, oh yeah, God came down and he was born from a woman and he lived a life and then he died, but he overcame death, he came back from the dead, they're saying no, this is based on causality and natural laws that obtain for whatever reason. It's not speculating into where the laws came from, but it's saying that we have to live by them, we have to understand them, we have to accept that reality exists and that supernatural stuff does not. Hitler made this clear from the beginning of his career in public life. Writing in his book Mein Kampf in 1924, he stated, "When man attempts to rebel against the iron logic of nature, he comes into struggle with the principles which he himself owes his existence as a man. And so his action against nature must lead to his own doom." Here we encounter the objection that man's role is to overcome nature. But man has never yet conquered nature in anything, but has at most caught hold of and tried to lift one corner or another of her immense, gigantic veil of eternal riddles and secrets. That in reality he invents nothing, but only discovers everything. That he does not dominate nature, but has only risen on the basis of his knowledge of various laws and secrets to be lord over those other living creatures who lack this knowledge. Volume 1, Chapter 2, or Chapter 11, Mannheim Translation, page 287. And elsewhere, another quote from Hitler, "Man must never fall into the madness of believing that he has risen to be lord and master over nature, which is so easily induced by the conceit of half-education, but must understand the fundamental necessity of nature's rule and realize how much of his existence is subject to these laws of combat and upward struggle. Then he will sense that in a universe where planets revolve around suns and moons turn around planets, where force alone forever masters weakness, compelling it to be its obedient servant, or else crushing it, there can be no special laws for man. For him too, the eternal principles of this ultimate wisdom hold sway. He can try to grasp them, but escape them never." Page 244 to 245. Back to Martin Kerr and Lauck. "The goal of National Socialism, then, is to consciously organize human society in accordance with the natural order. The post-war Danish National Socialist Pavel H. Riis Knudsen thus define National Socialism in a single sentence. Quote, "National Socialism is the application of the laws of nature to human affairs." I guess you could object, how could anything that humans do be outside of nature? And someone might respond, well, you can think up things that are crazy that run against nature and try to implement them and cause immense misery that way. "The dominant thought systems of today are uniformly based on the notion of human equality in one form or another. Multiracialism on racial equality, Marxism on economic equality, democracy on political equality, and Christianity on spiritual equality. The four Horse Riders of the Apocalypse, right? The four riders of the apocalypse, or the four riders of equality. Multiracialism on racial equality, Marxism on economic equality, democracy and political equality, and back to the origin, Christianity on spiritual equality. But when Adolf Hitler observed the world of living nature, he saw that it was not equality, but rather inequality that was ever present. To be more precise, he saw that nature operated according to the principles of structure and hierarchy." There is structure and hierarchy both among the races of mankind and also within the races. The hierarchy among the races he demoted as the principle of race, and that within each race as the principle of personality. So the principle of race and the principle of personality within the race. He discusses this in depth in Volume 2, Chapter 4 of Mein Kampf. In a speech given in 1928, Hitler gave his own one-sentence definition of National Socialist worldview, the National Socialist worldview. Hitler defined it in one sentence, quote, "All life is bound up in three theses. Struggle is the father of all things. Virtue lies in the blood. And leadership is primary and decisive." Here, blood symbolizes the principle of race, and leadership, the principle of personality. Struggle is the mechanism by which position in the hierarchy is determined. The belief that life should be lived in harmony with the natural order permeated the whole of Hitler's Germany from top to the bottom. It manifested itself not just in the political structure of the National Socialist state, but in every facet of society, including child rearing, nutrition, forestry, animal rights, medicine, and health care. The protection of the environment was a top priority. Truly, National Socialism was the original, quote, green movement. The SS had a popular motto, "Know the laws of life and live it accordingly." There's already two typos. Another SS saying pointed to the spiritual dimensions of the National Socialist worldview. Quote, "The divine manifests itself in the order of nature, not in supernatural miracles." The scientific community, and this is what I say like E. Michael Jones, toggling between God-explanations and natural order. Which is it? You got to pick one and go with it. It's like, well, there's a divine order that's present in the laws of nature. And then we also throw in this other stuff free. You know, the things that the laws are suspended when our religious ideology requires it. So always to understand something, what do you contrast it with? Examples that people can call to mind. So it's very much at odds with the Catholicism that Hitler grew up with. His National Socialism is distinct and opposed to that Catholicism. The scientific community enthusiastically supported the restructuring of society in harmony with the natural order. One example of this was botanist Ernest Lehmann, who characterized National Socialism as, quote, "politically applied biology," or biology applied to politics. In 1934, only 1 year into the NS era, he wrote, "We recognize that separating humanity from nature, from the whole of life, leads to mankind's own destruction and the death of nations. Only through a reintegration of humanity into the whole of nature can our folk ever be made stronger. That is the fundamental point of the biological tasks of our age. Mankind alone is no longer the focus of thought, but rather life as a whole. This striving with connectedness, with the totality of life, with nature itself, a nature into which we are born, this is the deepest meaning and the true essence of National Socialist thought." And that's from Biological Will, Way and Goal of Biological Work in the New Reich, page 10 and 11. It is easy for the unsuspecting or the misinformed to fall victim to the vicious, lying, Hitler-bashing, anti-NS propaganda that is everywhere today. Attempts to discuss the profound and life-giving character of Adolf Hitler's National Socialism often get sidetracked and bogged down in ridiculous and ill-informed debates concerning the conduct of German military operations during the Second World War, as though that subject was asthma of anti-Hitlerism even when it was at its height. The National Socialist philosopher Savitri Devi recognized the magnitude of Adolf Hitler's achievements and of the unique value of his teachings, not just to the Aryan race, but to all mankind. In her magnum opus, The Lightning and the Sun, 1958, she wrote, "In its essence, the National Socialist idea exceeds not only Germany in our time, but the Aryan race and mankind itself and any epoch. It ultimately expresses that mysterious and unfailing wisdom according to which nature lives and creates, the impersonal wisdom of the primeval forests and of the ocean depths and of the spheres and the dark fields of space. And it is to Adolf Hitler's glory not merely to have gone back to that divine wisdom, but to have made it the basis of a practical regeneration of policy of world and policy of worldwide scope. The Lightning and the Sun, page 219, 220, Standard Edition, page 128, Pierce Edition. And it is to Adolf Hitler's glory, not merely to have gone back to that divine wisdom, but to have made it the basis of a practical regeneration policy of worldwide scope. So she's saying he's discovered more or less the secret of nature as applied to human affairs, and it stands outside of his time for all times and all parts of the world. We live in a civilization and in a society that is about as divorced from the natural order as possible. That is why our race is sick. That is why our race is dying. Only by once again living in harmony with the laws of nature can we regain our racial health. There is only one movement which offers this salvation, and hence there is only one path to racial survival, that of Adolf Hitler and National Socialism. New section, a sociobiological perspective, page 9. Sociobiologists divide the animal world into three broad categories based on whether or not they live in societies, and if they do, their degree of socialization. Animals which live in societies live in groups characterized by 1, hierarchy, and 2, cooperation. The three categories are 1, asocial animals, in bold, which either live solitary lives as individuals or else they live in groups without hierarchy or cooperation. Most felines, except for the lion, which lives in prides, and orangutans are examples of animals who live as individuals. Schools of fish, flocks of birds, and Thompson's gazelle are animals who live in groups that are unstructured and the members of which do not cooperate with each other. Basically, they are collections of individuals. So they may look like a group, but they're just together. They're not cooperating or anything. So the first category is asocial animals. 2, eusocial animals. Eu would mean positive, like eugenics. Eusocial or eucivic as opposed to discivic, you'll sometimes see at Vox Day's site. Eucivic, discivic is something that's bad, that causes disease and disjoint in society. Eucivic, working together. So second category from asocial animals, second category, eusocial animals. Essentially, bees, ants, and their relatives live in communities in which the individual does not exist for practical purposes. Only the collective exists. The individual does not exist. Only the collective among bees and ants. And finally, the third category, social animals, live in groups known as societies in which there is hierarchy and cooperation. The individual has rights, but the rights generally subordinate to the welfare of the society. Most higher primates, including all of the great apes except for the orangutan, and most canines, dogs, are social animals. Human beings are social animals. We are not bees, for whom the only collective exists, only the collective exists, and we are not tigers, for whom only the individual exists. In human society, the individual has rights, but these must be balanced against the overall welfare of the group. There is inevitably some tension between the group and the individual, but in successful societies, this is managed so that neither suffers unduly. National Socialist Germany is the modern society that has done this the best. As a social state, it stands in balanced midpoint between the hive-like essential collectivism of communism, in which the individual exists only to serve the state and who has no rights at all, and the rootless naked egoism of asocial libertarianism, in which the good of the whole is subordinate to the desires and whims of the individual. This balance between the desires of the individual and the good of the racial community is exemplified in the Hitlerian dictum, the right to personal freedom recedes before the duty to preserve the race. Mein Kampf, page 255. This statement explicitly recognizes that there is a right to personal freedom, but that this right is subordinate to the common racial good. The word, quote, natural is only problematic if someone is determined to see it as so. The opposite is, quote, artificial, man-made. The wolf is a canine that is the product of natural selection. The chihuahua is a canine that is a product of artificial selection. The society we live in today is an artificial society that is divorced from nature. To be healthy as a race, we need a society that is structured in accordance with the world of nature. Theory and practice. Writing in 1980, the brilliant Australian National Socialist, Dr. E.R. Cawthron, and I don't know if that's a misspelling or correct because I have not come across that before, but they have it spelled C-A-W-T-H-R-O-N as opposed to Cawthorn. He noted that this Australian National Socialist, quote, just to speak in general terms about the laws of nature serves very little purpose. Very true. Let us take a look at a specific natural law and its concrete application in National Socialist Germany. Again, subsection is theory and practice. In the above introduction, it was noted that Adolf Hitler recognized that inequality, not equality, was the norm in living nature, and that with regard to man, this inequality manifested itself both between the races and within the race. As a corollary to the law of racial inequality, Hitler also discerned a law concerning, quote, the urge toward racial purity. He wrote, men without exception wander about in the garden of nature. They imagine that they know practically everything, and yet with few exceptions pass blindly by one of the most patent principles of nature's rule, the inner segregation of the species of all living beings on this earth. Every animal mates only with an animal of the same species. Only unusual circumstances can change this. Page 284. He further noted, the result of all racial crossing is therefore, in brief, always the lowering of the level of the higher race. Page 286. And he offered an example. Historical experience shows countless proofs of this. It shows with terrifying clarity that in every mingling of Aryan blood with that of lower peoples, the result was the end of the cultured people. North America, whose population consists in by far the largest part of Germanic elements, he means British and German, who mixed but little with the lower colored peoples, shows a different humanity and culture from Central and South America, where the predominantly Latin immigrants often mixed with the Aborigines on a large scale, he means the Spanish. By this one example, we clearly and distinctly recognize the effect of racial mixture. The Germanic inhabitant of the American continent, who has remained racially pure and unmixed, rose to be the master of the continent. He will remain the master as long as he does not fall victim to defilement of the blood. Page 286, there's a good quote to be used against the Catholics, as they claim that race doesn't matter, they're serving the Jew in that, regardless of their intention. And if you look into who set Christianity up, my God, it was a racial Jew named Saul. Thus, we can see the development of Hitler's logic with regard to natural law in this instance. He begins by postulating a law or principle that holds true for all of living nature. He further shows how man is specifically included in this law's jurisdiction. Taking the discussion out of the realm of theory, he gives a concrete example of the expression of this law in the real world. But it does not stop there. On September 15, 1935, Adolf Hitler, as Chancellor of the German Reich, signed a law into effect prohibiting race mixing between, quote, citizens of German or related blood and Jews. This act was formally titled the Law for the Protection of German Blood and German Honor. Mainstream historians have termed this the Nuremberg Race Law and claim that it was the sinister first step toward the extermination of European Jewry. But it was nothing of the sort. Rather, it was a preliminary and far-sighted attempt to tentatively codify natural law as state law. Adolf Hitler had begun to restructure German society so as to bring it into accordance with nature, just as he had advocated a decade earlier in Mein Kampf. Next subsection, Lincoln Rockwell's Laws of the Tribe. George Lincoln Rockwell is the founder of post-war American National Socialism and one of the foremost disciples of Adolf Hitler's thought of all time. He is primarily remembered as an intellect. In addition to numerous essays and articles, he authored two books, This Time the World, 1962, his political autobiography, and White Power, which was published posthumously in 1968, after he was assassinated. Like Adolf Hitler, Lincoln Rockwell recognized that man was a part of the natural order and that he was in no meaningful way separate or distinct from it. In Chapter 15 of White Power, entitled National Socialism, he lists five, quote, laws of the tribe that govern the social organization of all social animals. See Part 2. In White Power, he discusses four of the five principles or laws in some depth. By biological integrity, Rockwell means both and the instinctive urge to protect the exclusive gene pool of the but without a deadly hate of that which threatens what we love, love is an empty catchword for hippies, queers, and cowards. Biological integrity, absolute, total, and uncompromising loyalty to one's own racial group, based on a consuming love and absolute uncompromising hatred of any outsiders who intrude and threaten to mix their genes with those of the female of the group. Pages 445 to 446. By territory, he means in the first instance the land or the status he defines as the natural place or rank of each individual within the tribe. Everyone in the tribe is not equal to everyone else, but each person has worth and value and a role to play in the society. Rockwell does not mention motherhood and family beyond including it in his list of five laws. He was writing in the mid-60s when everyone in white society still had a healthy appreciation of the traditional family. He apparently thought that it was unnecessary to describe it further. Perversions such as homosexual marriage were so far over the social horizon that they were not even visible in 1967. One can only imagine what he would have to say about such manifestations of racial decadence and social decline. Not a trained anthropologist, and in listing the five laws, he was deeply indebted to Robert Audrey, A-U-D-R-E-Y, author of books on this subject such as African Genesis, and the territorial imperative. But although it was outside the field of his formal knowledge, Rockwell was intelligent enough to recognize the truth when he saw it and to portray it from a National Socialist perspective. When he first read African Genesis, Rockwell was so taken with Audrey's ideas that he wrote the author a multi-page letter explaining that Rockwell sent him a registered letter asking if he had received his first letter. Again, Audrey did not reply. However, Audrey went on to write another book, The Territorial Imperative, in which he discussed his law of territory in detail. In this book, Audrey takes pains to explicitly distance himself from National Socialism. He does not mention Rockwell by name, nor does Audrey address Rockwell's contention that National Socialism is the political embodiment of his ideas. He just wants his readers to know that he was not one of those awful Nazis, so his status flares feared up. You find that even in people who may be honest in a certain area, they don't understand the implications of their work, if they are honest, will fit in and dovetail with other stuff that might be socially foreboding. And when they are made aware of that fact, as by the letter from Rockwell, their status fears flare up. So these things do happen. Nonetheless, both African Genesis and the Territorial Imperative are great books, and their content is completely NS in their exposition. We recommend both, despite the superficial anti-NS orientation of the second volume, The Territorial Imperative. These five laws enunciated in White Power will someday form the basis for the National Socialist New Order, which we, the heirs of Hitler and Rockwell, will build in North America. Conclusion on page 20 we are now. And this is actually the end of it, and there's some notes that we'll go through. The question that white people must ask themselves is this: does human existence rest on a biological foundation or not? If it does, then the biological prerequisites that form the basis of our existence must be respected, or a great price for ignoring them must be paid. The wages of racial sin is racial death. The situation today in which the Aryan peoples of the world, without exceptions, live in societies completely divorced from the natural order, must be viewed from great historical perspective as a temporary dislocation. It is a sickness, not a permanent condition, and the patient will either recover or die. National socialism is the reorientation of human society to once again bring it into accordance with nature and her iron laws. It is the cure for the disease. And that is the conclusion. And now let's look a little at National Socialism and the Natural Order, a select reading list. What I have written here, says Martin Kerr, is only an introduction to the topic of National Socialism and the Natural Order. To really grasp it thoroughly and in depth, it needs to be studied. Here are a few texts to get you started on your exploration. Basic National Socialist Texts. Mein Kampf, number one, Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. Verlag Franz Eher, Nachfolger, GmbH, München, Band 1, 1925, Band 2, 1927, 781 pages indexed. Two, Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. Translated, Ralph Mannheim, Houghton Mifflin Company, 1943, index 694 pages, ISBN 13-978-0395925034. Reading it in the original is always the preferred option, but if you are limited to an English translation, this one is the best, the Mannheim. But supposedly there's a new one that's coming out, like this year or next year. White Power, 3. White Power by George Lincoln Rockwell, Ragnarok Press, Dallas, Texas, 1967. Illustrated, 482 pages. See especially Chapter 15, National Socialism, for Rockwell's discussion of the natural order and National Socialism. 4. National Socialism, : The Biological Worldview by Pavel H. Riis-Knudsen, Nordland Forlag, Aalborg, that's in Denmark, 1987. Frontispiece, 30 pages, essential, online at theneworder.wordpress.com, or you can get it through there. National Socialism, the Biological Worldview, Danish guy's article or book. Books hostile to National Socialism but still containing valuable information. Blood and Soil, Walter Dare and Hitler's Green Party by Kensal Press, K-E-N-S-A-L, 1985, 224 pages, ISBN-13:978-094-604-1336. Not pro-NS by any stretch of the imagination, but much less hostile than most mainstream books on Hitler and the Hitler era. 6. Racial Hygiene, Medicine Under the Nazis by Robert N. Proctor. I've read that one. It's pretty interesting. Harvard University Proctor, P-R-O-C-T-O-R. Racial Hygiene, Medicine Under the Nazis by Robert N. Proctor. Harvard University Press, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and London, England, 1988. Notes, index, bibliography, 43 figures, 414 plus VII pages, 7 pages. ISBN 0-674-74580-9. See especially Chapter 1, The Origins of Racial Hygiene, and Chapter 3, Political Biology, Doctors in the Nazi Cause. Proctor goes out of his way to show that he is anti-NS, perhaps because the subject he investigates are so inherently pro-NS. The subject he investigates. Typo there. 7. The Nazi War on Cancer by Robert N. Proctor. Same guy. Second book. The Nazi War on Cancer. Princeton University Press. Princeton and Oxford, 1999. So one book in 88, one in 99. Notes, index, bibliography, figures, 380 plus 10 pages. ISBN 0-691-00196-0. See especially Chapter 3, Genetic and Racial Theories, and Chapter 5, The Nazi Diet and Chapter 6, The Campaign Against Tobacco, even more hostile than racial hygiene, but containing even more good information. 6. Ecofascism, eight, Ecofascism, Lessons from the German Experience by Janet Beale and Peter Staudemeyer, a.k.a. Peter Staudemeyer, AK Press, San Francisco and Edinburgh, 1995. Footnotes, 73 pages, ISBN 1-873176-73-2. Consists of two essays, Fascist Ideology and the Green Wing of the Nazi Party and its Antecedents, by Staudemeyer, and Ecology and the Modernization of Fascism and the German... And that's again, Ecofascism, Lessons from the German Experience. Anthropology and Sociobiology. None of the books listed below is written by a National Socialist or with an NS or WN white nationalist audience in mind, but they all show the biological underpinnings of the National Socialist worldview and NS policies. 9. Introduction to Anthropology by Dr. Roger Pearson, Harcourt College Publishers, 1974. Approximately 500 photographs, charts, and maps. Glossary, Table of Languages, Index, 616 pages. ISBN 13-978-003-0915. Endnotes, Index, 216 pages. Promethean Fire, Reflections on the Origin of the Mind. 12. African Genesis, A Personal Investigation into the Animal Origins and Nature of Man, by Robert Ardrey, Athenium Publishers, New York, 1961. Paperback edition, 384 pages with an index. 13. The Territorial Imperative, A Personal Investigation into the Animal Origins of Property and Nations, by Robert Ardrey, Athenium Publishers, New York, 1966. So Ardrey's two books, African Genesis, Wikipedia, zoologist and anthropologist Desmond Morris looks at humans as a species and compares them with other animals. The Human Zoo, a follow-up book by Desmond Morris, which examined the behavior of people in the cities, was published in 1969. 15. Race, last one, Race by John R. Baker, Oxford University, 1981. 13 appendices, 82 illustrations, bibliography, a comprehensive, exhaustive examination of the biological reality of race and racial differences, suitable for both specialist and general readership. Flipping over to the last two page, 26 and a line on 27, about the author. Martin Kerr is an 8th-generation Aryan American descended from Scottish pioneers William and Rebecca Kerr, who helped settle Pennsylvania's Cumberland Valley in the 1750s. Pennsylvania. On January 18, 1952, he grew up in the small New Jersey town of Fanwood, where he attended local schools. He studied at various universities, including Hofstra University and the University of Maryland at College Park, from which he graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree, cum laude, in English Literature and Letters in 1991. The NS Bulletin Newsletter and the National Socialist Theoretical Journal. So he was there along the same time as Pierce, so I guess they would have split. Cole and Pierce split after Rockwell died, so Matt Cole's New Order is what Kerr was associated with. And I never had any particular interaction with Cole, as I know. Kerr has sent me his stuff from time to time, so that's how I actually got this. And I suppose they're keeping that going. When NSWPP Commander Matt Cale, K-O-E-H-L, and it's not Cole, it's pronounced Cale, reorganized the party as the New Order in 1983, Mr. Kerr was one of its founding associates. He has been in charge of New Order operations since the death of Commander Cale in 2014. So yeah, Cale died a few years ago, but I think they're still going on somewhat. Still published. So Kerr would have put this together after Cale's death. Anyway, that's National Socialism and the Laws of Nature. Wrapping it up. And gives you just a bit of an insight into what it is and where to look if you want to learn more about it. Because things that are demonized in the Jews media, They're usually demonized because they're pretty darn good for you. Thanks for listening. I'm Alex Linder. This has been The Learning College, and you find us at vnnforum.com and also our new social medium at pyville.net. I'll be back with you again soon with more quality material for your edification.